All right, good morning. So good to see you. We're talking about invitation today. Who is in church today because at one point in their life, someone invited them to church or to perhaps an outreach thing? Anyone in the dating evangelism game? Was that part of it? Okay. Oh, there's a worker, their hand over there. Well done. Good on you, Sean. I am a born-again Christian because my sister invited me to an outreach event. I was stubborn and hard-hearted, and you know, God was, he wasn't having a hard time, but he was working his work, and I was doing my best. And my sister invited me to an outreach event, and if it wasn't for that, I could still be as stubborn and proud as I was back then, and not here with you this morning. So we're looking at invitation, but before we get going, I just wanted to explain why Beck and I have preached from the middle here, why we preach from the middle, and I understand that hasn't been part of the normal practice, or hasn't been every Sunday in the past, but for us, we really believe in that the outward expression of what we do should represent our theology. Our theology isn't disconnected from what we do, not only out there in the world, but also here in church. And as Presbyterians, the Word of God is central to our worship. And hence, the Word of God, we hope, is symbolically central in that it is preached from the center. And we also do things practically as well, and we want to be a little bit closer to Puna and his family down the back there. We're over there, they're over there, we could be a little closer. So that's also a practical reason. But if you think about this in Anglican and Catholic churches, the center of the church building, or the center of the stage, I guess you'd call it, is the Lord's table. They'd probably call it the altar. But the Lord's table, and so the center of their service is the Lord's Supper, is communion. For other churches who perhaps really have an emphasis on worship, the worship band is up the front and center stage, and that's a big part of their worship as well. And so we really believe in being practical, but also in letting our theology come forward and be displayed in how we do things as well. Can we pray? Can we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather as your children, your church family here in Glendowie this morning. And Lord, we just want to be encouraged by you. So Holy Spirit, we just invite you to speak to us this morning. Open our hearts, soften our hearts, that we would be open to hearing afresh from you what you would speak to each of us today. Give us a love for the lost. Give us the boldness and courage and inspiration to indeed invite people to come and hear this good news of your Son, and to taste and see that you are so, so good in our lives. So Father, be with us, bless us. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, last week I was going to give you all some homework, but we've only been here 3 weeks, and I didn't think that the homework was probably going to be so well received if I did it this early on in my ministry. I want to know who would have done my homework. Okay, be honest. The homework I was going to give you was to go down to the TAB in Glen Innes and place $5 on a 3-leg multi-bet for this week's Super Rugby. Who would have done that? Who would have done that? $5 on a 3-leg multi on... One? Hands high, come on, loud and proud. Yeah, about four. It's about the number that I expected. Who would have done it just because I told you to? Okay, there we go. I say, cool. Well, I wonder if you hadn't done that, let's put ourselves in that situation just for a few moments. Imagine now, take yourself back to last week. I'm here. Okay, here we go. This week, go and place a $5 on a 3-leg multi on Super Rugby. Now, your reaction, why wouldn't you do it? Tell me, come on, here we go. Bit of feedback.
I don't know what it is.
You don't know what it is. You have no idea what I'm talking about. Fantastic. Anyone else? Yeah, in the middle? You don't know what to do when you get there? Yeah, okay.
Presbyterians don't gamble.
Way, well done. Well done. Josh?
I'd spend the $5 on beer.
You got better things to spend your money on? Kate? You don't need to rely on lucky anymore. Yeah, so you don't believe that it's right. There we go. There we go. Stormers, we're going to lose anyway. Okay, moving on, Simon. It depends on what you'd placed it on. I don't know how gambling works, actually. that might change your yeah, okay. Well, some of the reasons that you've probably got, actually, are also, here's some other things that I wrote. It would be weird and to be in a strange place. It'd be a bit weird to be in a strange place. I wouldn't know what to do. We've already done that one. I've used strange language to talk about what to do, and you'd feel possibly embarrassed that you were there and not doing that. You don't like hanging out with those sort of people. Yeah. What about if you had gone, but you'd never gone before, if you just decided to follow, be good and do your homework? You might have come up with, you'd gone there, but same thing, you didn't know what to do. It was strange and awkward being in a weird environment. It surprised you, the kind of people that were actually there. Or maybe if you've done it, I've been doing it for so long that it was just natural. It didn't matter. Or I've done it in my childhood, with my family while I was a young child. So I knew what to do. Well, I think you can probably guess where I'm going with this. But there is a place that I can guarantee every one of you here have been in the last week that 80% of our country haven't been. And the reason they haven't been is probably because of those same reasons. You can guess, can't you? It's church. Think about that for a second. It's not important enough for me to go just because you tell me to. It's a waste of my time and a waste of my money. I've lost my place there. It's right. It's strange. I didn't know what you were talking about. I don't know what happens in there. I think I don't like the people who go. They're strange. All of these sorts of barriers that we've just talked about for gambling and betting are a lot of the same and are transferable for why people don't actually come in to church. But let's think about it again. Imagine it's in November or September or whenever it is, Melbourne Cup time. Someone from your office comes to you and says, hey, look, I'm going down to place a cheeky 10 on razzmatazz. Come with me. A bunch of my colleagues from the office are going. It's going to be so much fun. We're going out for dinner afterwards. And then on Tuesday when it happens, we're going to watch it. It's going to be so much fun. It's just going to be awesome. Come with us. In fact, come. You don't even have to place a bet. Just come and enjoy the atmosphere. Would you come and just hang out with us? And it'll be so much fun. Have the chances of you going to the TAB increased with that invitation? Would you have never even thought about it, now be tempted to go? Would you now seriously consider it? Or would you perhaps maybe just go to check out and have fun with other people, even if you don't fully participate in it? And as I said, you can see where this analogy is going, isn't it? Of how placing a bet in the TAB might be for us what coming to church is for a non-churched person, or even for someone who hasn't been for a while. How much more effective does the offer of a personal invitation make the prospect of going to church sound? Well, today we continue, as I mentioned, looking at our vision of GPC to become a vibrant faith community displaying transformed lives, inviting people to faith in Jesus through local mission for discipleship in Christ to move church members to share and serve and to glorify God. And as you all know, the church has identified four calls to action, four PIGS, P-I-G-S is the acronym, prayer, intercession, giving, and serving, that each of us at GPC can participate in order to actively live out the purpose and vision that God has for us as a community. So last week, Becky looked at prayer, and this week we're looking at inviting. With inviting, there's three things that I want to look at this morning. One, we want to see GPC have a culture of inviting people to church. It should be something that we do. It should be natural to us. We want this culture because it's firstly what Jesus commanded, and secondly, because it's what we want to do. We should want people to come to church and to have a relationship with Jesus. It's a natural outworking of our faith. The second thing is that it's also important that we talk about some of the practical things. The reality is that none of us will invite anyone to something that's not worth their time or that we don't think they should come to in the first place. We want a church that we are proud to invite people to. So what do we need to think about to make GPC more visitor-friendly, the most visitor-friendly church in Auckland, without compromising our core values and beliefs? And finally, we need to put this into practice. Let's not just listen to what I say and then go home and forget about it. Let's start now, start here and now to build this culture of invitation. So, first of all, we want to be a church of invitation because we want to be faithful in hearing and taking seriously the commandment of Jesus to go and make disciples of all nations. And I'm sure most of you know, and as Sean said as he read that, that's what's known as the Great Commission. You'll notice that it's a Great Commission. It's not a great suggestion, is it? It's not a great idea. Jesus didn't give the great idea or the great suggestion. It's the Great Commissioning. It's a commissioning for us as disciples. It's an instruction. It's an imperative. Go. I'm sending you. Go. And it's an imperative to take action, to be proactive, and not just passive in our lives and in the world. Most churches have the Field of Dreams strategy. Build it and they will come. Unfortunately, their mission strategy just remains that, a dream. Jesus says, go. Go and make disciples. And the imperative in the sentence is placed on the making of disciples. So the idea is that in order for us to be faithful followers of Jesus, we must go and make faithful followers of Jesus, who will then in turn go and make faithful followers of Jesus. It's the bread and butter of discipleship. It's the bread and butter of being a follower of Jesus Christ. An invitation, I think, is perhaps the most basic part of faithful discipleship making. Disciple making, and it's a part that we all can do. The reason it is so basic and easy is because God's already done the hard part. He's already done the hard part. Jesus is the one who's lived the perfect life. Jesus is the one who's died on the cross. Jesus is the one who rose from the dead and then ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. All very hard things to do, but we're not asked to do that. We're not asked to do that. We're not even asked to do a smidgen of that. All we've got to do, at worst, is experience a slight social awkwardness of someone saying, hey, look, it's not for me. I don't believe in God. I'm sorry. I'm not going to come. Jesus has done all the hard work. Paul puts it like in that reading from Romans, he outlines the gospel in those first 10 chapters of Romans. This amazing picture of the almighty sovereign God. But who will believe unless someone goes? How can they believe in the gospel if no one tells them about it? How will people come to church who know nothing about it unless we go and invite them in to hear and to believe in the gospel? Again, if we read in our gospel this morning, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And he gives the commandment, and then he finishes off with, and I am with you always to the end of the age. So Jesus is the one with all the power of the universe and of the world in his hands. And wherever we go, the powerful one is with us. You see, it's not about what we do. It's about Jesus. It's about what Jesus can do. And it's about the power of God working through us. But we just have to invite people. Whether they decline it, it doesn't matter. It ends there. We've done our part. We put our trust and our faith and our hope in God. Something that I've learned in my short ministry is that I can't make people believe something. I'd love to. I really would. I can't make them turn their hearts to Jesus. I can't transform people's minds. I can't kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? I can't power the Holy Spirit on people like that. We can't do that. But I can faithfully tell people about Jesus. I can faithfully call me to do and to say the things that Jesus calls us to say. And for each and every one of us, the minimum is to invite, to extend an offer of invitation, to come along to a service, to an event, to maybe an outreach program at GPC. It starts with an invitation. It might even start with simply building a bit of relationship so that that invitation becomes a little bit easier. And so when we do invite, that's why we've got to celebrate it. If you invite and someone declines, that's fantastic. You invited them. You've done your part. You've faithfully lived out what God has called you to do. We leave the rest in God's hands because we can't change their hearts. And hey, if they come to church as well, we're going to celebrate that too. Because that's to be celebrated. You see, researchers have found that a personal invitation is the most effective way to break down any real or perceived barriers for people engaging in a new circle of friends or a new group of people. They say that 63% of people who've never been invited to church would come if they were only given an invitation. Pretty good odds, isn't it? The church here won't grow unless we invite people to walk through those doors. You've got new ministers, and you might think, great, fantastic, the pressure is off. We can sit back and watch them do their magic, watch the church grow. But you're not off the hook. I'm sorry. Our role here is to equip you for the mission of the church, to participate with you in that mission, and to support you in it while we also do our part as being a part of the church. It's the personal touch, the relationships that only you have that will make the difference. It's those connections, it's those opportunities that you have, that I will never have. You've got them to invite people, to extend that invitation, and faithfully trust that God is going to do the rest. But things, of course, go a little bit deeper than that. If we simply invite people to church because Jesus told us to, or the minister told you to, you'd start feeling very guilty when you didn't. And when I sort of stand at the door and greet you, you'd probably try and get through the door that's locked. And then maybe when you couldn't do that, you'd just turn away. But then if we didn't, we'd feel guilty and we'd be begrudging when we have to do it. Oh, God, I better do it. And then when people say no, we might get bitter. And when we see other people doing it and being really sick, we might get bitter about that as well. If we do it out of a heart of obligation, it's not going to end well. So it goes deeper than that. Ultimately, when we encounter God and we are filled with the Holy Spirit and the love of God takes over us and fills us up, our love for the lost, for those who don't know Jesus, grows exponentially. I remember when I first became a Christian, I was just banging on about Jesus the whole time. I worked on a construction site at the time, so I had some very interesting and colourful conversations with people. And I'd bring books about this, that, and the other thing, things I wish I hadn't given people to now, but that's beside the point. I'd talk to them, I'd really try and just persuade them about Jesus is the only way. All these other religions are just rubbish and false and all sorts of things like that. I just found that I needed to tell people about Jesus. I needed people who didn't believe this to see that this is the truth and that this has got the key to life and fulfillment and just so much joy in living my life. I had to share it. Inviting people to hear the gospel, to experience the love of God, or come along to a church service starts with us loving them. Loving them because they're lost. Loving them because we want the best for them. Loving them because they need that relationship with Jesus. I think about it like this. Imagine if you lived in a world where everyone was sick. Everyone just had a chest infection the whole time. People only got sick if they got Ebola. You know, that was someone getting sick. But everyone has a chest infection, an ear infection, or something like that. That's just the norm. But in this place, actually, healthcare is free. And it's got the best healthcare system in the world with the best medicine, the best doctors and surgeon, and there's plenty of clinics around that are empty. No one goes to them. They don't even know about them. And even those who do only go there, you know, once or twice a year and don't take advantage of that. But imagine then that you are the son or daughter of the doctor, of the best GP that the world has seen, and your father's practice is empty. How desperate would you be for your friends to come and get better, to be healed? How much would you want to tell them that life is so much better when you're not coughing all the time and your ears aren't sore and you can talk better because your throat's not in pain all the time? Come to the doctor, come to the great surgeon. How would you act? How desperate would you be in telling people about your father? The analogy is fairly simple, isn't it? How desperate are we to see people touched by God, to have their brokenness healed and give them hope in a life that is so hopeless and so broken? If we see Jesus in all his entirety and know who he is and what he has done, how can we not but tell the world, or at least invite them so someone else can tell them? I'll tell them for you, I promise. But maybe you've never accepted the invitation yourself before. Maybe week after week you come here and you've just never accepted that invitation from Jesus, that he loves you, that he has got a purpose and a hope for your life that's just deeper than you can imagine. You're just holding him at arm's length. That invitation's here today. If that's you, I encourage you to accept that. Because our love of inviting people begins with the invitation of God for us. To have our sins forgiven, our brokenness healed, and the offer of eternal life. If you've never taken that and you want to take that step today, if you want to accept that invitation, come and talk to me after the service, please. I want to pray with you, and I want to help and encourage you to take that step this morning. The second part is we want to be people who are proud to invite people to GPC. The second thing that's very important is that we want a community who are proud and excited to invite people along to GPC. And this issue is twofold, really. Firstly, we need to check our own attitude and how we invite people. And secondly, are we proud of GPC? Are we proud of the church? Could we do things a little bit better to encourage those or to help those who may be invited to coming to GPC? Well, I want to ask you a question. How do you promote GPC when you invite people? How do you promote it? Are you enthusiastic and excited? Hey, come to church. It's so awesome. There are so many cool people there. You'll have just great conversations, and they're just so cool to hang out with. The music is fantastic. It really draws us into the Lord. The teaching is so gospel-centered, and there's this amazing message about what you can be up to in the world with transforming it with God and for his kingdom's sake. And, you know, the minister's jokes are just so funny. They're so funny. Or do you downplay it? Hey, look, I've got to invite a couple of people to church. Can you be one? can you help me out a little bit? The songs, they're all old. And the ones that are new, they're too loud. And don't come this week because we're talking about giving. And if you do come, sit down the back right-hand side because all the weird people sit there, and sit at the back. Because when the minister gets excited, he froths at the mouth and spits in the first three pews. In fact, you can just listen to the sermon online. How do we invite people? How do we promote GPC? How do we encourage people that this is the best place to be in the world on a Sunday morning? We want to be a church that we are proud of inviting people. But what it also means is making GPC and ourselves here accessible to those who visit, especially those who aren't Christians. And we need to ask ourselves questions like, what barriers am I putting up to non-Christians? What barriers are we here putting up? Are there words that we say or language that we use that's pretty exclusive and only the inner circle of Christians know what they actually mean? And even the ones who do come along just assume that they should know, and so don't ask anyway. If we brought a friend along to church who had never had anything to do with it, what would we need to explain to them? What would we be embarrassed about? Have you ever recommended a movie or a DVD to like your mum, and you sat down to watch it and it opens with a sex scene? And you're just kind of sitting there going, oh, I forgot about this. Oh, I just get the popcorn, you know? Imagine having that feeling in church. Like, you know, you invite a visitor, you tell them, it's just so great, it's so awesome. And then, you know, Beck or I just get up and we're like, praise brothers and sisters, and kind of get into all this kind of, like, I don't know. I don't think I'm weird. So, but you know, what are we doing here? What do we say, and how do we act that might just be a little bit in-house, a little bit churchy and Christian that... Actually, it's a bit odd to people who kind of come in off the street and have nothing to do with Christian or have never experienced it before. Becky was telling me about a guy who used to come into their church in St. Chad's, and he was Japanese, and he came along to talk to the office staff to help with his English. And eventually they invited him along. Well, eventually he came to a service. They'd been inviting him for a while. And Beck sat with him, and she's like, it was just so weird because of all the strange stuff that I suddenly realized we do and did in the service. And I had to just keep explaining to things. There's a picture of she said, there was a picture of this bloodied and beat up guy hanging on a cross with really beautiful music playing in the background. And then suddenly we're talking about eating his body and drinking his blood. And we all queue up the front to go and do it. Now, I'm not saying we get rid of communion. That's not what I'm saying at all. Don't hear that. But how strange is that to someone who's never heard anything about Christianity? Even the contrast of that peaceful music and the battered body of Jesus looked up there, you know, up on the cross. We know what it means. We know how beautiful an image that is. But to someone who doesn't know that, that's disturbing. What do we need to do in order to make Jesus and our service more accessible without compromising our core beliefs? What can we actually do? Think about it. And the trick to avoid is to avoid thinking that because something has always been done in a certain way, that it's the best way. We need to look at our services with fresh eyes, with missional eyes. We need to see if the things we do enable visitors who have no Christian background to engage with God, or do they detract from his message and have just flown under the radar for one reason or another. While assessing this, though, we must ensure that our time together holds biblical truth at the center. We don't want to move away from that. Otherwise, we are not honoring Jesus and his mission. But we can make alterations and explanations to allow more people to connect what happens here with their everyday lives and experiences. And so if you have any suggestions, if there's something that you know that might get in the way, or that you perhaps got in the way of you when you visited here for the first time, it would have been helpful for someone to explain to you from the start, come and let us know. We really want to hear. We genuinely are interested in hearing your feedback so we can make GPC a place that we're just supremely proud to invite people to. And you know, I'm not going to say anything weird. Community is also a big reason why we want to, why people come back a second time to church, because they felt a connection and a true connection to God and to other people. In order to ensure GPC is a place where people will want to come back to, we must ensure that we as individuals have a true and genuine sense of community together. That's why welcoming people is so important. If you see a newcomer or someone who's here for the who you don't know and sitting by themselves, go and talk to them. Be interested. But in order to show, embrace them as visitors and as part of our welcoming, warm community. We're all made in the image of God. We are designed for relationship. We're created for it in real and genuine ways, not just on Facebook and Instagram. Are we doing that? Are you participating genuinely in the community of Glendowie Presbyterian? One of the things that really attracted us to GPC is that we came to visit over a number of weeks was the wonderful and caring people who just loved God and were so friendly, and that was amazing. It was really wonderful as we visited. And we just encourage you, keep that up. Keep loving the new person. Keep welcoming them. Keep encouraging them. I went to been to the men's group the last couple of weeks, and that's just such an encouragement to meet with guys genuinely seeking the Lord and genuinely loving and caring about one another. What an opportunity. Someone said that, you know, they were just blown away by how that group was just so encouraging and open with one another in a prayerful kind of way. Are you in a home group? Are you in a Bible study? Are you connected with other Christians here at GPC? Well, you've got the opportunity to ask perhaps more mature Christians questions. Or will you find encouragement and accountability to the things of God? Because that's so important. It's so important for us having that community here on a Sunday, but it's so important for us living those genuine lives following Jesus out there in the world. If you don't belong, can I encourage you, go along to one literally come and ask me if you want to get connected with one of those, or if you want to start one, you're amazing. So come and talk to me. That's so important. Finally, in order to invite well, we need to pray. It all starts with prayer. As I said, it's the Holy Spirit's job to work in his people's hearts. And God needs to be a part of the process right from the beginning. So where do we start? We start in prayer by asking God to place a person in our heart who we should invite. Then we keep praying. As Becky mentioned last week, we need to be persistent in our prayers and we need to trust God with them. So we are about to move into our time of intercessions now, where we are going to pray for the lost and people who don't know Jesus in our lives. And then we'll get practical and start to act in faith. So we're going to ask someone to place someone or a place in your heart that God's moving you to go and invite people to GPC. Perhaps there's someone, a family, a friend, or an acquaintance in your circle of connection or interest group that they might be drawn to church. And you've hopefully been given a card. I encourage you to write their name and your name down on that card. So you could even write, "Dear such and such, I invite you to come along to wherever." It could be a church service, it could be an outreach that we do, mainly music, it could be an event, or it could be Easter. We're wanting to make Easter a really special service, so it might be a great opportunity to build up and work towards that, inviting them. And then what we want you to do is turn to two or three people around you and pray together for the people on your card. Perhaps tell them where you know them from, and why you think God's placed them on your heart today. Pray with them. And we're going to have, if you're not a big prayer in groups, we've got going to have a prayer up on the PowerPoint so that you can just simply pray that prayer with those around you. And what we're going to do is we encourage you to take those home with you and put them on your fridge. If it's your spouse, you decide whether that's a good place to put it or not. It might start the conversation. But put that possibly in your Bible as a bookmark so that you can be reminded constantly to pray for them, to be persistent in praying for them. And what we want is when you invite, come and tell us. Just flick Beck or I an email. Let us know how it went so we can celebrate. We can get up in the coming weeks and months and say, look, we've just got these number of invitations, confirmations that people have invited people, and we just want to celebrate that. Even if they don't say yes, we want to celebrate your faithfulness in following the commandments of Jesus. So we encourage you to invite.